The American public has been much quieter than the Congress in this debate over intelligence on Iraq. We asked three reporters to pose this question to different groups of Americans around the country. Does it matter if weapons of mass destruction are found in Iraq? We begin with reporter Russell Lewis from member station KPBS in San Diego.
Few other places in the country pay more attention to the U.S. military than San Diego. It's home to more than 100,000 active-duty Navy and Marine Corps personnel. During the Iraqi conflict, one out of every five U.S. service members was based here. So support for the war ran deep in this military community. Nowhere was it more evident than at the Veterans of Foreign Wars post 3787. It's lunchtime, but only a few vets are inside the dimly lit wood-paneled room. They pay little attention to the television tuned to a Pentagon news conference. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is answering questions about the search for weapons of mass destruction. That's not an issue for Paul Wade. The 59-year-old Vietnam Army veteran doesn't understand what the fuss is about. He believes the United States will find the Iraqi weapons of mass destruction in due time.
I don't think it matters at all. I think the UN is the one that kept us from finding them to begin with, because they gave them over a year or so to go hide them in all the other countries.
Wade sat around a table in the VFW post with two other veterans who served in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. These three men all agree the war with Iraq was necessary, that President Bush did the right thing, and the weapons of mass destruction will be found. C.J. Glassford is a 78-year-old former Navy submariner. He's seen too much evidence and knows they exist.
If they didn't have weapons of mass destruction, why would they build containers for them? That's like building an airplane and forgetting to put the airplane in it. Now, I still believe they have them. It's just we haven't been able to locate them yet.
Bill Paxton nods his head. He was in the Marine Corps for 30 years, and by the looks of it, he could join again today. Paxton still keeps his gray hair cropped short. He's resolute and says the United States should stay in Iraq until the weapons are found.
We got to continue to march. And we got to accomplish a mission this time. We didn't do it the first time, and we let Saddam get away. We can't let him or those weapons get away, or we're going to end up with more terrorism, and we can't afford no more 9/11s.
C.J. Glassford doesn't understand why some Americans think the U.S. government deceived the public to justify the war. He shakes his head at those who feel otherwise.
I don't believe that our president would be capable of sacrificing American lives for something that was not true. I believe that they do have the weapons. Someday we'll find them, maybe not in the near future, but I still believe that our intelligence would not lie to us.
Glassford, Army veteran Paul Wade, and the Marine Paxton each say the Iraqi war is never far from their minds. They pray for the military service members that are scouring the Iraqi countryside for weapons of mass destruction. They say it's a dangerous job that won't get easier anytime soon. For NPR News, I'm Russell Lewis in San Diego.
This is Tom Goldman in Portland, Oregon. As a writer, it's natural for novelist Ursula Le Guin to find symbolism in the most innocuous moments. So it was as the clock struck 11 in the living room of her Northwest Portland home. Le Guin announced with dramatic emphasis, "The 11th hour." For Le Guin and several friends, it was a welcome bit of levity in a conversation that at times seemed as somber as a tolling bell. Not that it was hard to get them to talk about weapons of mass destruction. These women, all against the war in Iraq, are well-read and politically aware, and they say it matters enormously that weapons are found. Ursula Le Guin.
If it was a lie, if it was a lying exaggeration, if it was a wishful thinking, all that, that's very bad news for our democracy.
There are no ifs for book publisher Ruth Gundel. She says the administration already has lied about the weapons.
We were not just told that they believed they were there. We were told that they knew for a fact they were there.
That's right.
In fact, Rumsfeld actually said where they were.
On March 30th, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said there were weapons of mass destruction in the areas around Tikrit and Baghdad. Gundel says she can't think of anything more serious than, in her words, going to war on the basis of a lie. Ursula Le Guin is frustrated that many Americans don't seem to share that opinion, including, she says, journalists.
Usually, reporters hate being lied to. Where's the outrage?
Poet Judith Barrington thinks the capacity for outrage, at least with ordinary American citizens, was lost in the traumatic aftermath of September 11th.
People needed people to trust and people to take true leadership. And in fact, what happened was that the government took advantage of those fears. And now people are paying the price for that and are not wanting to question what happened.
Judith Barrington says people still need to push for the truth about why we went to war, especially those who may be least inclined, the ones with family members fighting in the Middle East. Barrington's nephew is in the British Army and has been on the front lines in Iraq. She says that hasn't stopped her from questioning, as she calls it, the rightness of the war.
It doesn't in any way diminish my concern for my nephew that I might say he's been sent to a war that's been trumped up on false evidence.
None of those gathered in Portland likes the fact that the current congressional hearings on weapons of mass destruction are closed to the public. They say they'll follow the hearings with skepticism, but also welcome solid evidence that the weapons actually exist. If that evidence emerges, says author Ursula Le Guin, she won't have to be so scared for the future of the country. Tom Goldman, NPR News, Portland, Oregon.
I'm Nancy Solomon. In Maplewood, New Jersey, every table is full at the Bagel Chateau, a small deli in the center of this suburban town. It's mid-morning, and stay-at-home moms come while their kids are at school. At one table, three friends gather. Usually the talk is about family, schools, and hair. But when asked, Ann Sussman says the search for weapons of mass destruction isn't likely to change her opinion about the war.
I don't know that I will feel any sense of relief or satisfaction whether or not they're found. There are clearly other nations, North Korea, that have stronger threats that we know about in terms of weapons of mass destruction, and we're not dealing the same way. So I'm not sure that there weren't ulterior motives. So I'm suspect.
Her sister-in-law, Eileen Grossman, says she doesn't need proof that Saddam was helping terrorists. On September 11th, she says, the world divided in two, and Saddam was on the wrong side, as far as she's concerned.
I think we needed to send a message to them after September 11th because they did. They came in and they devastated so many families and just changed everybody's life that day.
Like the majority of New Jersey voters, Grossman doesn't belong to a political party. She voted for Al Gore, but she approves of Bush's policies that project American military power as a response to terrorism. Another group of Maplewood mothers gathers at a home just before the kids arrive from school. Annette DePalma says it matters very much whether weapons of mass destruction are found. But her friend, Barbara Heisler-Williams, is so upset by the occupation of Iraq that she just wants the troops brought home.
If anything, I've gotten more skeptical, and I'm trying to keep my skepticism from my kids. Especially my son is really learning a cynicism toward government. That's very upsetting and scary for me.
Sarah Smith says the question of Iraq's weapons of mass destruction has been an important issue for her in justifying the war.
I wanted to find out that the people making the decisions had information they couldn't share with us, and that it would come out eventually, and then we'd say, this really was the right thing to do. I don't want to be this wrong. I just don't want our country to have done something this dreadful.
These women fear that if chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons are never found, confidence in U.S. leaders will erode both at home and abroad. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Solomon.